Thank you. The shiur is titled Bechira versus Hashgacha. Just a couple of words of introduction first. This week's parsha, the question comes up amongst the Rishonim, what exactly did Pari do wrong? And that's where the title of the shiur comes from. What did Pari do wrong? What does that mean? The psukim seem to talk about Hashem vayakshaslev Hashem eslev Pari, how Hashem hardened Pari's heart. And there's a lot of discussion, what does that mean that Hashem hardens somebody's heart? And how, if that's the case, did he have the ability to do tshuva? How could Hashem take away the ability to do tshuva? There's a lot of discussion. But one other thing that comes out of a lot of the talk about Pari is, the psukim say that Hashem promised va'avodim ve'inu oisa. Hashem had promised that Klal Yisrael would go down to Mitzrayim many, many years before. This is part of the shalshelos. This is part of what needs to take place for the Jewish people to go from a scattered group, becoming the Avos, becoming larger families, to eventually becoming Klal Yisrael. This is what's necessary, and Hashem put this in place. So the question then is obvious. What did Pari do wrong? Obviously, he was sent by the Eibishter to do what he was supposed to do in order to move history from the beginning all the way to becoming Klal Yisrael. What did Pari do wrong? That's the question. We'll explore it further and we'll do what we can to answer it. Bechira versus Hashgacha is not a question of which one is stronger, which one is going to win. And the reason for that is because they're both fundamental yesidus, which aren't going away. The Rambam, the first of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, says, Ani Mamin, I have the exact text here, just in case. Be'emunah Shleima Shehabayri Yisparach Shemayhu Bayri U'manig L'chol HaBruim V'hu Levadai Oso Be'oiseh V'yaseh L'chol HaMaisim. The Rambam says, this is the most fundamental belief of a Jewish person. A Yid has to believe constantly that Hashem created the world. He will create whatever will be created. He creates whatever is being created. And he is manhig, everything that is in the world and takes place in the world. Everything is biyad Hashem. That's the most fundamental emunah we have to have. On the other hand, let's talk about a completely different yesod, which would seem, there are situations, it would seem, where the two would contradict each other. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asks a question, why is it that Hashem made human beings with a natural fear of fire? It's almost unheard of that a person isn't naturally scared when there's a fire coming at them. Things are burning. They naturally have a fear. Sometimes they panic. Sometimes they think well. And they save themselves. But it's natural. It's instinctive. Why don't we have that same fear of doing aveiros? That's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's question. And through this question, he brings out the concept of Bechira, that Hashem gave us Bechira only because we're not scared of doing aveiros. It's something we have to work on. And that's how we have Schar V'Einish, and he builds on that. But the concept of Bechira is that we have Uvacharta B'chaim. Hashem says, I placed in front of you the ability to make good choices and the ability to make bad choices. Uvacharta B'chaim. Choose life. Make good choices. But ultimately, it has to be our choice. Because if it weren't our choice, then what's the schar for? And Lu'umazeh, what's the einish for? It wasn't our choice. So we have to have the ability to be able to choose between right and wrong. It would seem, if I have the ability to choose to do the wrong thing, let's say the wrong thing is to hurt you, but Hashem's hashkacha, Hashem is manhig you, that you're not going to die until you're 85 years old. So today is not your day. Today you're good. Okay, so whatever I planned on doing to you, I would think, is going to be a miserable failure. I can't possibly harm you today, because Hashem doesn't want me to. Well, then how could I have the ability to choose whether to harm you or not? Where's my Bechira? If Hashem is planning what I'm going to be successful at. I'm just kind of setting it up, the two yesidus against each other. Now let's explore them further. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, before he gave a shmooze or a shir, he said, it's kedai even if I inspire only one person, and even if that one person was me. The reason I said this, I've been learning these in Yonim for a long time now. I gave most of this in a shiur in Torah V'Emunah. Thank you to the Kollel for their help being masada that. It's now over a year. So it's done a lot for me, because a lot of the questions that I've had that I wanted to see a Hesber for, I've been able to kind of go through. On the other hand, it definitely raised a lot more questions than answers. But there's a story with Rav Itzel Petterberger as follows. A few hundred years ago, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was in the Beis Medrash watching two of his bachrim in the middle of Seder. And he heard them talking to each other. And one of them said to the other, "Look around. It's the famous yeshiva of Panovich. Everyone's learning. Could you imagine the amount of hasmada that we have? What do you think the Yitzhara has to say about this? If he were standing here, what would the Yitzhara say?" So Rav Chaim Volozhiner tapped one of the bachrim on the shoulder, and he said, "I'll tell you what he has to say." He says, "Red vegemir vifri vif, okay, vifel ir vilt, abim is on the shlernen. Talk about me as much as you want. Talk about the Yitzhara, talk about Musar, whatever. Just don't learn." That's the story. Rav Itzel Petterberger, a couple hundred years later, said that was then when they learned Torah Lishma. Nowadays, our learning isn't so good. So the Sultan would say something else. He'd say, "Red learn Torah, abi irzolt vegan mir nishret. Keep learning as long as you don't talk about me. There's a value in talking about these in Yonim, even if you end up with more questions. There's a value in talking about in Yonim Musar, and talking about Hashkacha, and talking about Bechira, trying to understand Darkei Hashem. There's a value even in the discussion itself." Okay. Let's start by exploring Hashkacha a little bit. We know there's a Yesod, Ein Adam Neikef Etzboi Lamata Im Lemachrizin Olav Milamala. It's not possible for a human being to do anything lamala on Olam Hazeh unless it was nigzar that's what he's going to do. I remember I used to hear a story about the Chassam Sofer, that he was makpid, that when he was eating a meal, he would sit there like this, and he wouldn't play with his fork or move the salt shaker from place to place. And he was asked, "Why is this? What was this? What was his akpada?" And he said, "Because unless there's a gzera that the salt shaker should be moved from here to here, it belongs here." It seems trivial, but he was teaching his talmidim a lesson. Ein adam neikef etzvoy milamata elim kein machrizin alav milamala. So, without the Eibishter planning for something, l'chayra, nothing takes place. We don't just do things on our own. Okay. A couple of psukim. Hashem li lo ira ma'yas heliyotam. Hashem is for me. He's going to take care of me. He watches over me. I have no fear. What's a human being going to do to me? Which means, I have protection from Hashem unless Hashem is going to be behind whatever will happen to me. But if Hashem doesn't want something bad to happen to me, it won't happen. Because anybody else who are Bali Bechira, they can't harm me. Hashem's watching over me, assuming that Hashem watches over me. But my Hashkacha is all I need. Gam ki eilech begeitz ha-movis, lo iro ro ki ato imadi. Really? I think David HaMelech meant, unless there's a Baal Bechira here who wants to harm me, because then he would be able to harm me. Obviously not. I have nothing to worry about. Long as I daven to Hashem, and Hashem is with me, that's all I have to worry about. Rav Haigain actually has a tshuva, where he talks about what sadly we see very often nowadays, mass shootings, or mass casualties as a result of a terrorist attack. Something that takes place, not a natural calamity, not something that like an earthquake or a building falling or a ship sinking, a terrorist attack. Somebody shoots with many guns, more than one person, whatever it is. He says, let's think for a second. It would seem, based on the concept of Hashem is the manhik, that everyone, 20 people died. It would seem that every one of those people was destined, Hashem put them there in that place, in that time, it was part of Hashem's master plan. It would seem that's l'chayra pashut. And it's sad because every time we hear Nebuchadnezzar of an attack, the question bugs me. Really? Him? He deserved it? He needed to be there? He was destined to be a victim? And it's a troubling question, but somehow the answer has to be yes, it would seem. Rav Haigain says, What if the person who was going to be the terrorist woke up that morning and had a cold and just decided not to go to work because I don't feel so good? Or he woke up that morning and he said, you know what? Here, hooray tshuva. I'm not going to go shoot my whole office. So Rav Hagen says, one second. But you just agreed to me that all of those people in the office, all 20 people, were supposed to die today. So how are they going to die today? What's going to happen to Hashem's plan? If Hashem had this big plan that I'm going to be the one to kill him, what's going to happen? So Rav Hagen says, Yochel Liyais, these are his words, yes, it's possible that they would have died some other way. It has to be. Hashem could have made the building fall on them. It kind of seems that Hashem will decide when somebody will die, maybe where and how he can, I don't know, change a game plan last minute. I don't know. But he clearly says, yeah, you have to say it's possible. And then he goes on how we know, we heard of such things, how a ship sinks and 30 people die suddenly, and a lot of people are gathered under a tree and the tree falls, and then there's 100 people in a building. I mean, he goes on and on. He says, yeah, you have to come out with that conclusion, because otherwise, what happened to Hashkacha? What happened to Hashem being in charge of everything? That's Rav Haigai. Let's continue. The pasuk says, "Vasher loy tzadav v'hoylekim ina liyadoi," and the Gemara talks about this is one of the psukim by a hayreg b'shoigig, somebody that kills somebody by mistake, and the halacha is he has to go to golos. And there's a lot of technical criteria to determine when it's a mistake and when it's not a mistake. When you go to golos, when you chayav misa, when you get nothing, and then Hashem brings you both to a bundik. Okay, it's a big sugya. But the Gemara says, what does that mean, v'hoylekim ina liyadoi? And the Gemara says that if you killed somebody by mistake, Hashem is the one that put him in front. Because Megalgalin Tzchus HaYedei Zakai and Megalgalin Chayev HaYedei Chayev. It would seem pretty clearly, the Gemara is assuming it's impossible for you to harm anybody had Hashem not been behind that. Now granted, you didn't mean to harm him. That's where you come in as a Hayrik B'Shoigig. But Hashem made sure he gets killed. It can't be without Hashem's planning. That's the Gemara. L'chaira, again, you can't get hurt. Nothing will happen to a human being if Hashem doesn't want it to happen. A little bit more. By the mitzvah of Ma'aka, or Maike, as we used to say, which I think is the wrong pronunciation, the pasuk says, Ki yipol hanoifel. And the Gemara explains, Ro'oi ze lipol misheshes yimei breishes, which is astounding. If somebody falls off of a porch where you should have had a ma'aka, you should have built it, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, you're supposed to build it, and somebody falls, the Gemara says that that person is called a neifel before he fell. And the Gemara asks, but he didn't fall. He did fall. He was destined to fall. Because it's obvious that had he not been destined to fall by Hashem's master plan, by Hashem's hashkacha, before you even built the house, he wouldn't have fallen. What did I do? Megalgal and chayev ayde chayev, and Hashem, I definitely didn't do the right thing. I'm still chayev, I'm still culpable. But I killed somebody who already was called a neifel, misheshes yimei bereshis, because Hashem planned for him to fall and get killed. The Vilna Gaon asks, when the Yidden go to a mechemes mitzvah, so the Kaihanim, they call out, whoever just got married, and this is Shana Rishayna, whoever just built himself a house, V'lei Chanochai, whoever planted a vineyard, and he hasn't, okay. All of those people shouldn't go to war with Klal Yisrael. Why? Because they're going to be Torah, they're going to be thinking about it, they're not going to focus on the war, whatever it is. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon asks, he says, I don't understand. He says, we have a concept of hashkacha. Either they're destined to die, and it's not going to help them to stay in their house. Or they're not destined to die, and they can go kind of dancing around in front of the enemy, and nothing's going to happen to them. He says, which way is it? What are we worried about that we're sending people home? How is that going to help? Or what are they worried about? That's the Groz Kasha. The Chayv Salvovis, I'm not going to quote it here because it's a very long shtickle, but he says very clearly, Hakol B'Dei Shamayim. It's fundamentally impossible for anything to ever take place without Hashem being behind it. Let's continue. The Sefer HaChinuch explains, What's the understanding? Now remember that the Chinuch wrote a sefer to explain why the mitzvahs were given. Not why they were given, but how we can relate to why they're given. Because ultimately the Yavishta gave us mitzvahs. But how do we understand what the purpose of that mitzvah asay or lois asay is? And he explains, the law of taking nekama, you're not allowed to take nekama. Rabbi Singer, I hope to say nothing that will be a spoiler for tomorrow's shiur.
How's the whole
shit? I'll go on to the next point. Were you going to talk about the chinuch?
I don't know. I'll
show you. Okay. The chinuch says, the purpose of the law of nekama is to teach us and to remind us and to drill it into us that it wasn't him that did anything to me. What am I taking revenge on him for? Hashem sent him. Okay, what do you mean Hashem sent him? So it wasn't his choice to be mazik me. So it wasn't his choice to hurt me. It wasn't the person's choice to kill somebody. It's Hashem. And therefore I can't take nekama on him. Okay, so you have to look into the kaim nikmas and there's mechemes mitzvah where you're taking nekama. That's probably where your share comes in. Now I'm done with nekama. But in any case, you see clearly the chinuch is saying that hashkacha is that Hashem made it happen. It wouldn't have happened otherwise. The Mishnah in Ovis says, a little bit of a tongue twister, I'll hope I do my best. Al da atfeich atfuch v'soif mitafoyach yitufun. Hillel HaZaken was walking by the river, and he saw a skull. Now I know that if I'm walking by the river and I see a skull, this isn't what comes to my mind. But Hillel HaZaken saw hashkacha in everything. And he said to the skull, you know why you drowned and that's why you're just a skull? You once were a human being. And you drown somebody. And that's why you are now floating on top of the water. And you know what's going to happen to the person that drowned you? He's also going to get drowned. Everything happens for a specific reason, planned and preordained by Hashem. That was the message from the Mishnah and Ovis. Couple more. Yosef said, "Asachas olikimani." Rashi says, "Klumani yochel lahazik." How could I hurt somebody else? We say, "Lo davda shemar v'yishi mimi ira." I'm not scared of anybody. And finally, the Gemara in Brachas. There's a story of Rav Chanina ben Daisa. There was an aroid or an aroid, some sort of a snake or creature that was biting people and killing them. Rav Chanina ben Daisa said, "Show it to me." So they went. He stuck his foot into the snake's hole. The snake bit him. Rav Chanina ben Daisa was bitten, and the snake died. So the Gemara says that people after that point were saying, woe to the person that the Arad bites him, and woe to the Arad, to the snake, that Rav Chanina ben Daisa is bitten by that snake. That was what people said, the snake died, end of the story, new mission. So the Gra asks, he says, I don't understand, People were saying, woe to the person bitten by the snake. They could have said that before Rav Chanina ben Daisa stuck his foot into the hole. They should have said it, because that's when they were worried about the snake. Snake's going around biting people. Why didn't they say then, whoa, to the person that gets bitten by the snake? So the Gross says, because until they realized that the snake was biting people, nobody was worried, because Hashgacha says that the snake can't bite anybody unless Hashem wants the snake to bite anybody. However, he says, let me hold off because I think that point is going to go later. Okay, let's now flip. Now let's take a deeper look into the other side, which is that a human being, a Baal Bechira, has the ability to make a choice to do an aveira, to do the wrong thing, even if it will affect somebody else adversely. I hurt somebody. How could I hurt someone if Hashem didn't want that person to be hurt? Okay, but I have Bechira. So I could hurt somebody even if he wasn't supposed to be hurt. Let's explore that a little bit. So the Ramban, the question we asked before, what did Pari do wrong? The question was asked, the Rishonim are asking, what did he do wrong if Hashem took away his, Hashem hardened his heart? Ayachi Hashem Eslev Pari, what did Pari do wrong? So the answer that's given by the Ramban, and by the Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, and by the Ravid, and I'm sure by other Rishonim, and it's discussed at length, is that really Pari, what Pari did was, he was told, Hashem said, Va'avodim v'inu oisam. Pari took it way too far. The Ravid says that Pari was told Vavodim Ve'inu Asom, which sounds like slavery. There's nothing about killing them. There's nothing about drowning their babies. None of that was what the Nevuah was. Pari went too far. And so the Ravid says that Ve'inu Asom didn't mean Misa. It didn't mean drowning babies. Fine, but Pari went much further than that. That's the Avla. So the Rishonim are saying, the Avla is not what Pari did that Hashem wanted him to do. The Avla is that Hashem wanted him to do up to there, and Pari said, I'm going to do it way up to here. And he killed them, and he was much, much worse. Let's focus with a laser right there. So Pari did more to the Yidden than Hashem had planned would be done to the Yidden. It's very clear. The Rishonim are saying, Pari on his own did much worse. The Rambam's Lashon is Chinam. The Ramban's Lashon is. For no reason. Why did Pari do that? He wasn't supposed to do that. He had no right to do that. Yet Pari had the ability to do it. So obviously, Pari made the choice to do Ra to somebody else, even though clearly that wasn't what Hashem had wanted him to do. The Pasuk says by Yosef that Reuven wanted to throw Yosef into the bar. Laman Hatzil Yosef, to save him from the brothers. So the question is asked, what was Reuven trying to do? What was he accomplishing? The Zohar asks it, and the Arachayim HaKadosh asks it also. What was he going to gain? Because we know that there were Nechashim and Akravim. Okay, so there's all the Torah that it was too deep. For Hanukkah, it was more than 20 Amos. He couldn't see Nechashim and Akravim. But the halacha is that if you throw someone into a pit, you have to assume that there are Nechashim and Akravim, at least in those days. So the question is, what was Reuven, how mahatzolahizu? So the Arachayim HaKadosh says a yisoid. Reuven was trying to determine, he wasn't trying to save Yosef, he was trying to determine if Yosef is correct in their machlekes. So he said like this, if I leave Yosef in the hands of my brothers, they can kill him. And then I'll never know if Yosef was right or the brothers were right, because the brothers can be mazikim even if he didn't necessarily deserve it. However, if I leave him in the pit in the hands of Nechashim and Akravim, Nechashim and Akravim won't be mazik my brother. They won't kill Yosef unless Hashem determines that he should be killed, because the brothers are balei bechira, and you have bechira to hurt someone and to kill someone, even if that wasn't Hashem's plan. That's why he didn't want to leave him in the hands of Bali Bechira. He said, I'd rather leave him in the hands of Nechashim and Akravim who are not Bali Bechira. That's the famous Archai. So it would seem, yes, there's Hashkacha. Yes, Hashem watches over you. But at the same time, it's possible that someone else can choose to harm you. Which flies very much in the face of all the Makairis that we've just brought, that everything happens only with Hashem. The Gemara in Chagiga, a famous Gemara, talks about a situation where Yosef would cry when he would come to the pasuk of Yesh Nisba Beloy Mishpat. Pasuk in Mishlei, there are some that are gathered, which means that they die without Mishpat. And there are many ways of explaining what that really means. But the common denominator amongst all of them is that not every person that dies is dying because he absolutely, completely deserved it. There are many other times that a person could die. That's the Pasuk in Mishlei. Rabbeinu Hananel says that you know what Yesh Nisba B'lei Mishpat means? It means if somebody kills someone else. Because it's possible that you didn't deserve to die. He could still kill somebody, and that's where the person that dies is dying B'lei Mishpat, without necessarily deserving it. Which is an astounding Rabbeinu Hananel. But that's how he explains the Pasuk of Yesh Nisba B'lei Mishpat. The Chira comes stronger than Hashgacha. How could that be? David HaMelech said, when David did the Avera and he counted Klal Yisrael, whatever the Avera was, Hashem sent God to tell him that he has three punishments to choose from. Forget what it was, 3 days of Cherev, 3 months of sword, whatever, three different ones. Or Hashem will take care of them. And David said, Tzar li moed nifl biyad Hashem. I want to fall in the hands of Hashem, but biyad adam ala poila. I don't want to fall into the hands of human beings. And again, the kash that we've asked many times, what are you scared of? People can't hurt you any more than you deserve to be hurt. So what was David scared of? So the Malbim says, and listen to the Malbim's words. The Malbim said that David calculated, I'd rather be in the hands of Hashgachi, the loy biyad ba bechiri. David actually said, I'd rather be, I'm choosing Hashgacha versus Bechira. Obviously, the two are two different sides of the same coin. And I'd rather be in the hands of Hashgacha where I know Hashem's in charge, and whatever He destines for me, whatever He decides, I accept. That's our punishment. And I know that nothing more will happen that shouldn't happen. Whereas if I'm in the hands of people, Bali Bechira, all bets are off. They can do whatever they want if they choose to. And David didn't want that. Clearly there's this concept of a Baal Bechira choosing to hurt somebody or to kill someone who didn't necessarily deserve it. One of the highlights of the davening on Yom Noiroyim is Unasana Taikif. Mi bekitzoi umi loy bekitzoi. And clearly, this is discussed many times in Shas and Paiskim, there's a concept of someone dying loy bekitzoi. What does that mean? It's not arbitrary. We don't decide that it's a certain age or it's a certain metric of health, and if you die above that, then it's bekitzai. If you die below that, it's loy bekitzai. What does that mean, loy bekitzai? People die and it's loy bekitzai. It wasn't their time to die. What does that mean, it wasn't their time? Isn't Hashem in charge? Didn't Hashem decide that is their time? How could it be before someone's time to die if Hashem is manig everything? That's the question. The obvious answer would seem, because Hashem chose your time of death as here, and a Baal Bechira can hurt you 30 years before that. That would seem to be the answer. So, I'm just setting it up. I'm trying to go quickly. The Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, says that he's discussing Hilchos Brachos, he quotes a kafta of a ferach. He's talking about a discussion of making a bracha b'mokum sha'asali nes, and he has a whole discussion about Eliyahu b'har ha-Karmel. And at one point, he says that the reason why the bracha is made is because Eliyahu was in the hands of Achav, who was a baal bechira with Eliyahu's life. Achav could have killed Eliyahu because he's a baal bechira. Achav had Bechira to kill Eliyahu. Now, since Hashem prevented that, that's why he's making the bracha Shasli Nez B'mokam Azeh, which means that Achav had Bechira to kill him. Shmuel was told by Hashem to go tell Shaul that his reign is over. His reign as king is going to be over. And Shmuel said, Eich Eilech, how can I go? Shaul's going to hear I'm coming. What's he going to do? He's going to kill me. Now, I don't know, but if Hashem tells you to go, you go. Shmuel's sitting there arguing with Hashem. So whatever that means, look at the Mefarshim. But what's Hashem's response? I would think Hashem would say, what are you worried about? You're worried, I understand. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. You're doing a mitzvah. You are a shliach mitzvah. I'm telling you to go. Don't worry about it. You have the protection of me. I'll watch over you. Hashem doesn't say that. Hashem says, Kach lecha eglas boker, you know what? I have a good alibi for you. Take an eglas boker, he'll think that you're coming to bring a carbon, and he won't kill you as a result. Why didn't Hashem say that nothing's going to happen to you if you're a shliach mitzvah? Nothing's going to happen to you if I, Hashem, want you to go do that. Obviously, it could still happen. And this is a very compelling raya because Hashem himself is the one saying that. And finally, the Pnei Yeshua asks, why do we have Tzayim Gedalia? Tzayim Gedalia, yes, it's part of the historical story relating to the Churban and relating to the tragedies that took place during those times. But at the end of the day, really, it's just celebrating, it's commemorating the fact that one person died. And he says, I mean, unfortunately, it happens. People die, people are killed, people are assassinated. Why the big deal of Tzayim Gedalia? And in his discussion, he says that the reason it's such a big deal is because it commemorates the terrible tzara of a Baal Bechira killing someone that didn't deserve to be killed. He didn't deserve to die. He wasn't supposed to die. Afal Pikin, a Baal Bechira, was able to kill him. That's what we have. So essentially what we have at this point is we have set up two fundamental yesodos, which are clearly true. You have compelling Makairis on both sides, a whole lineup of them, and there are hundreds more. I was trying to be Makatzer. How do we understand both of these Yisaitis at the same time? It would seem as follows. Again, mostly these are suggestions of how to understand it. I don't know if I have it at Royce. I don't know if I have a complete beer, but definitely tools that we could use to try to understand to help us forward. Couple of quick nafkaminas. What difference does this all make? I'll tell you where it makes a difference. First of all, there's a concept of ayin hara. Ayin hara is something that affects. There are simanim in Shulchan Aruch about what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do. Ayin hara is something that affects what you're allowed to do. How does ayin hara even work? Somehow, by me looking at somebody, by me thinking about somebody, that's actually going to affect hezek. It's going to cause them somehow to be damaged. How exactly does that work? How does me looking at that person cause them to be damaged? So what if I didn't happen to bump into them and say, that's a nice pair of shoes? Then nothing would have happened to them? So how do you understand that? Also, I'll just quickly mention this. Rabbi Nachum Ziemba was known as one of the fiercest supporters of the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto. The night before the uprising, he gave a fiery speech where he was trying to whip everyone up into a frenzy. We're doing the right thing. Don't shy back. This is the right thing. Why? He said, we don't have the Urim V'Tumim nowadays. We don't have the ability to know whether this impending, I mean, they're already in the Holocaust, but what they saw as impending destruction of the Warsaw, whether it's really from Hashem, until we know, we have to assume maybe it's not. And therefore we have to fight. We can't just assume that it's a Gzeira Min HaShemayim. We have to fight. So that affected them. Halacha, there were many, the Radzina Rebbe was also very big. There were many others that didn't agree. So this, how you view this Bechira versus Hashgacha really affected how they operated during that terrible time. What was their decision? Now, I've seen it quoted, but I have not found it. I know that the Meshech Chachma talks about how the Holocaust is coming because they called Berlin Yerushalayim, and this seems to be the pattern that Klal Yisrael gets into a new place, and they're very good, and then they start assimilating. But I never saw where he said, unless somebody knows where it is, I haven't found it, where he actually said that's why the Holocaust happened. I don't know. But I've seen it in writing that he was very much for people not fighting against the Nazis. We have to accept it. This is a Gzeir Min HaShemayim. Chofetz Chaim said that? Okay, I haven't seen it. Chofetz Chaim quoted the Meshech Chachma, or he said it on his own?
I believe he
said it on his own. Okay, Ken Zion. But clearly, maybe he wasn't alive. Okay, so maybe they're referring to that famous Meshech Chachma that Berlin is Yerushalayim, but he's saying the Chofetz Chaim says it too. But clearly there were many amongst Klal Yisrael that didn't fight back. They felt it was the wrong thing to fight back. Okay, one more example, and then we'll go to try to come to a Hezber. We say in Asara Ruge Malchus, Zman Tno Lanu Shleishis Yomim. Give me 3 days so I can go up to Shemayim. Leda, to know whether or not this is a Gzeir Min HaShemayim. So I ask you for Poshup Shat. And if it's not, okay, you go up there and you find out Hashem says, no, this ain't us. No. Okay, you're coming back down to fight against the Romans? What was the purpose of finding out? So obviously, because if it's not a Gzeir Min HaShemayim, we're going to react differently. Whereas if it is a Gzeir Min HaShemayim, we have to accept it. So, what do you mean? The Romans can't hurt us if Hashem doesn't want them to hurt us? Obviously they can. That was the whole purpose of going up to Shemayim. Okay, so clearly we have these two things. Let's try a few ways of being Mazdra. We said before, the Gra asked about the Archei Melchama, what's the purpose of not going to war? What do we gain by telling a new chassan to stay home? If he's destined to die or get hurt, it'll happen at home. And if he's not destined, let him go to the front lines of the battle. He's still not gonna get hurt. The Gra says no. He says there's two kinds of mazel. There's mazel kloli, and then there's mazel proti. And it works toiv or lara both ways. And just quickly, if you have a person who's destined not to die on his own, but yet if he's part of a tzibur that's destined to die, he can get killed with them. Or fakert. Somebody that's destined to die on his own. That's his mazel yichidi if he would be at home. However, if he's amongst the tzibur, then he's saved with the tzibur. So your mazel, according to the Vilna Gaon, can change whether or not you're alone or whether or not you're with a klal who has a different din, a different judgment, a different set of rules when it's amongst the crowd. Again, it's the kind of thing you'd have to think about for a very long time, but what that tells you, just that sentence alone, is that every one of us, it's constantly changing. Because when I'm considered yichidi, I have one set of mazel, and Hashem deals with me in a certain way. The minute I walk into the Beis HaMedrash, l'chaira, I'm with a tzibur, now things are very different for me. So that means all of that we're discussing about Do I have Hashem's protection, or can someone harm me? Well, I don't know how to judge, but it definitely depends where I am and who I'm with. And that's why the Kohanim told the Chassan, don't go, stay home, because your mazel is better there than going to Milcham.
So that's Pshat
Mi'Mi
Kitzah. What?
That's Pshat Mi'Mi Kitzah Mi'Lai B'Kitzah then, because you could change your destined time to die if you're with a Tzibur.
Because it's possible that Hashem doesn't decide when a person will die and that's set in stone and nothing will ever change that. As we'll see in a couple minutes, it's constantly changing. It's almost as if there's a reset button, and that reset button gets pushed hundreds or millions of times. Yet you have to say something. We'll see even more clearly. Yes.
The light. He went down to start saying he was calling the owners.
Right. That's a good mashal. That's right. He on his own, he wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been punished. Right. Okay. Rabbeinu Chaya says. He was talking about Avram Avinu by the Brisbane Absarim. Hashem says, Ki yadativ l'man Hashem yitzavah. So he says that the Lashon yadativ doesn't mean knowledge. It doesn't mean I know him. It's a much deeper way. It means I have hashgacha over him. Hashem was talking about, and he goes into a long discussion about hashgacha. And he says there are three levels of hashgacha. It's unclear what the Rishonim would say about Goyim. Some referenced him, some didn't. I don't know. So let's just right now talk about Klal Yisrael. He says, first there's a level of hashgacha over behemoths or over general things. Hashem's hashgacha is very, very general over an animal. It's primarily, the Rabbeinu Bechai says, to save the min, for the kiyam ha-min. He'll do what it takes so that cows exist. But Hashem there's not particular hashgacha on Elsie the cow to make sure that she got her little patch of grass today. The chloe is there's grass, there are cows, the climate is good for cows. That's Hashem's hashgacha.
He said, if you become extinct, what happened to the dinosaurs?
The only answer I can give is because Hashem wanted that to happen. Hashem obviously wanted that to happen.
And we have proof.
That's right. We have probably the best proof. But the point is that the hashgacha on animals is no more than kiyam hamid. That's the point of Rabbeinu Bechaya. As opposed to human beings.
You should stop saving the whales. That's what it was.
You know what? You'd have to call Rabbeinu Bechaya and ask him if that's what he means. Now you're taking it. I don't know. I don't know because yesh ladin if environmental concerns are minatay or not. L'chayra, you do have to be concerned about that. We have tzar bali chayim. So, l'chayra, yeah, but that's not for now. The second level is Hashgacha Pratis, Leda Maisav Umachshavaisav. Hashem is a little bit more involved with people because he kind of is much more in tune, watching over them on a daily basis for their daily activities. Activities of daily life, as it's known. However, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, there's an additional level of Hashgacha, which is where you deserve Hashem's protection from other people and from things taking place that can harm you or hurt you. And not everyone is zeichet to that. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that's only for tzaddikim. So, clearly, according to Rabbeinu Bechaya, every single human being has a basic level of hashgacha. Hashem takes care of us. Hashem provides for us. Hashem's looking out for us. Higher than just kiyam hamin. But that doesn't mean that we have the level of hashgacha where Hashem protects us from things that can potentially hurt us. Or from, like we said, Balei Bechira making a choice to hurt us. Now, the Netziv, on the story of Yosef and his brothers, says similar to Rabbeinu Bechaya, but he adds just a small knetch, and he proves it that Yosef was known. One of the midos of Yosef was Gmilas Chasodim, and he says that's one of the things that make you into more of a tzaddik than someone else, in which case you deserve Hashem's Hashkocha to protect you from somebody else. The Sifsei Chaim has a very long shtickel on this. One thing he says is, and it's something that I'm not sure I understand yet. Hopefully one day I'll be zeich. He says it's possible that Hashem's hashgacha on a specific person is for someone else. What does that mean? You know, there's the machlokes, how could Hashem know what I'm going to decide if I have to be the one deciding it? Okay? Hashem's yediyah versus my bechira. But he explains, and he quotes Rav Dessler, that Hashem will use my choice of doing the wrong thing. He knows what I'm going to choose, And he'll use it because, let's say, somebody else deserves a punishment. That's where the concept of Megalgal and Choyvay Dechayev comes from. So he says that essentially the Hashkocha is that I'm used as a kli for that person's Hashkocha. So again, it's hard to know when this applies, when this doesn't apply, and my suggestion is that I'm not the one that should be figuring out when it does apply or when it doesn't apply. My role is to try to be one of the tzaddikim, where Rabbeinu Bechaya says, I'm then worthy of someone else's protection. So to briefly answer, yes, Paroi did the wrong thing, and he had the ability to hurt Klal Yisrael. Somehow, on different levels, it's easy to say, based on what the Rabbeinu Bechaya and others are saying, that Hashkocha is a variable. It can change. What level of Hashkocha does Hashem provide? Is it just basic Hashkocha, or is it a higher level where we've earned Hashem's protection from other people? And clearly, in the hands of Paroi, we hadn't earned Hashem's protection. That's the conclusion that we're going to come to. Now, just a couple, 20 seconds. Chayai and her, we mentioned one more Gemara. The Gemara talks about Shluchei Mitzvah in the Zaykin, and the Gemara has a whole discussion in many different places. Gemara in Psachim is talking about Bedikas Chametz, and the Gemara talks about Shluchei Mitzvah in the Zaykin, but the maskana of that little sugya is Shchicha Hezek Kashan. That if the Hezek was Shchiach, it's a different story. Then there's no concept of Shluchei Mitzvah Ein Nizaykin. Right? It doesn't matter that Hashem sent Shmuel. If it was Shchicha Hezeka, then it's a different story. The Chayvus HaVavah says, quotes a pasuk from Mishlei, Ritzais Hashem Darkei Yish, Kam Oyev Av Yash L'maisai. And it would seem that Hashem decided what's going to happen Rosh Hashanah. Yet as the year goes by, you have the ability, based on your meisim, based on your chesed, based on the good things that a person does, based on the bad things that a person does, you're constantly changing that. There's almost, like we mentioned before, it's like there's a reset button. Hashem is constantly evaluating where you stand. So yes, there's bechira to hurt someone, but at the same time, Hashem's hashkocha is always there. Our role is to try to be as much as we can on the sphere of tzaddikim, in which case Rabbeinu Bechaya says, we will be zeichet to Hashem's protection, the highest level of hashkocha. Thank you.